Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live, where we bring you the best in music, books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us. Now, here is your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. I told you all earlier this is the Hour of Sean's. We began our program today by speaking with filmmaker and director Sean Patrick Fahey about his upcoming project. But now we're joined by author Sean C. Wright. We're going to talk to her not only about her love of storytelling, but what it's been like for her to share that with the world this year. She's been able to do it through her book of short stories, A Gathering of Butterflies. We'll tell you all a little bit later how you can get it for yourself, as well as how you can stay connected with Sean. But Sean, hello to you, and welcome to the program.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Hey, glad to have you on with us. And as I said, you know, this is a project that you released this year, but it's been one, as I was saying to you before we went on here, that has been in the works for quite some time. What does it feel like for you, Sean, to finally be able to share your work with the world this way?
It feels fantastic and completely surreal. I've been writing since I was 8 years old. And I didn't get anything published until I was 38. So it was 30 years of writing and a lot of rejection letters and just a lot of perseverance. But I promise anyone who's out there doing this, it's, you know, a payoff is coming if you stick with it. Just don't quit.
Right, right. And the great thing about you, Sean, is that you did not give up on the gift, and I think that is a great thing for all people in the creative community to remember, the importance of not letting go of it. I mean, what do you think has been the key, though, to your sticking with it? Because as you know, I mean, there are some people who, you know, after the first rejection letter, they would have said, you know what, just forget this, I'll just move on to something else. But what is it that kept you moving forward and believing in yourself and your gift?
I think it's realizing that storytelling or writing chose me as opposed to the other way around. Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
And right. And if you know that, you know, that's what you want to do and that's what you enjoy doing, then I really feel it doesn't matter if anyone likes it or not. I mean, it's if you enjoy it, the rest, if it's meant to happen, will fall in line, will fall into place. You will get published. And I think that that positive attitude and that energy of attracting that positive energy to yourself and let's see, how can I put this? It's just mind your business.
Right.
It's just keep writing. Yeah, just keep writing, keep submitting, and, you know, hopefully someone will notice.
Yeah. And along the way, Sean, the other thing I noticed that you do, and I was noticed this when I was prepping for the segment with you, is that you've not only been able to be on this journey by yourself by writing A Gathering of Butterflies and releasing it, but also you've made yourself available to be able to help other people to, you know, to see their writing dream realized. You helped them to be able to do it through the services you offer. Why has that been important for you, to not only to achieve your own dreams, but then to be able to be in a position where you can help other people do the same thing?
Because writing is it's a very, I guess, in a lot of ways, it's not for the soft-hearted. Mm-hmm. Is, you know, there's a lot of rejection that goes with it, and you know, if you don't have tough skin, you get your feelings hurt. And I've often felt that independent writers, especially, should support each other, because there just has to be a community of support. And that's just something that I felt that is very valuable in the writing community. It's just standing on each other's shoulders.
Right. Now, you say in the beginning of A Gathering of Butterflies, Sean, that short stories is one of those things that you like to write because it's short, it's entertaining, it's quick, and it's something that people can actually be able to read, you know, when they're, as you even talk about, on their lunch break or when they're, you know, going from place to place, maybe on public transportation. Is that, you know, what you think has been the real key to it, making it short where somebody can go ahead and finish the story and be done with it before they go on with the rest of their day?
Let's see. I'm sorry. What were you saying? Sure.
Yeah. I mean, is that one of the reasons why you like short stories? Because they can go ahead and be done with the story and go on with the rest of their day after they read it. They don't have to wait till, you know, till later on in the day to try to finish it, to read later on into the night. That it's something quick enough that they can be able to get a full story and then be able to go on with their day.
Right. I totally agree with that. I mean, I like to read everything, and I do enjoy novels, but sometimes I want to read something that, you know, has a moral, it has all of the elements and all the entertainment of a novel, but, you know, that I can read in, you know, a short amount of time, and I think that that's something that's important to readers, too. So that's kind of why I also have a soft spot for short stories.
Right. And do you also find that getting into the minds and hearts of characters is something you enjoy? I mean, whether it's something like Devil Does Dallas, you know, or even Hazel Hogan, that you're able to tell these stories for these different characters and really bring them to life through words?
Yes, because I feel that, well, first of all, a lot of my characters are people that I've met, mm-hmm. that I've, you know, in my life journey, and they're kind of an amalgamation of people I've met and pieces of myself, if that makes any sense. It's all kind mm-hmm. of like a soup of different things.
Sure.
And what I also hope to accomplish by these characters is to show people the dynamics of themselves too. Like, oh, okay, well, I can relate to this person. You know, the conflicts that these characters face. It's like, they can feel that they aren't alone. They can relate to someone in an anonymous way.
Right. I think that is so true. For those who are just tuning in, either on the radio dial or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. Author Shawn C. Wright is joining us for this segment. We're talking to her not only about her love of writing and storytelling, but what it's been like for her to this year be able to release her book of short stories, A Gathering of Butterflies. We're going to tell you all a little bit later how you can get it for yourself, either through Kindle or in print as well. So what has it been like for you, Shawn, as you kind of step back a little bit? What has it been like for you to release this project and then to be able to hear the feedback from those who are reading it?
It feels really, really great. Of course, as a writer, I'm my own worst critic. One of the things that I published, I did this myself because I wanted just to get something out there, was probably about a decade ago, I self-published a book of two poetry books.
Mm-hmm.
And in retrospect, they were awful. And, you know, I just see the evolution of how I've evolved, the evolution of how I've improved, in my writing. And so I can also see what other people think, and they have validated what I thought, you know, that just because you feel ready to publish something doesn't necessarily mean that you are ready, and some of the feedback I've gotten from this book of short stories, it shows that, yes, I'm ready. And, of course, there's always room for improvement, but this just shows that, yes, I've gotten much better.
Yeah. You know, my favorite in the collection, I have to say, is one that I didn't really know what to expect, Shawn, but I found myself really drawn into it, and that is Hazel Hogan. I like the fact that, you know, you're able to create, you know, this character who goes through a real transformation in so many different ways, I think, and especially in building confidence. And we see it especially when Hazel is applying for the job, seeing about the job position. What was that like for you to create a character like Hazel and you know, and others as well? I mean, the first story in the book was really interesting as well, the Devil Does Dallas. But, I mean, what was it like for you to create Hazel and to kind of take us through this dramatic transformation that took place inside and out with her?
That was somewhat personal to me because, as a woman of color, I think we're often told that, you know, you have to look a certain way and be a certain way to be good enough, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
And with Hazel, it's like, yes, she's transformed on the outside, but she's also transformed in the inside. And that was something that I grew to love her even more. I mean, I felt badly for her, but after that, I found myself cheering for her, you know, towards the middle of the book. And it's so interesting because I just decided to write that book as loosely, I mean, that story is loosely based on a coworker that I knew. And I decided to throw a little sci-fi in there, and it was kind of an experiment, but you and probably almost everyone I've talked to said that's their favorite in the book. So I'm really glad you enjoy that. But yeah, she's one of my favorite characters in stories, short stories.
Yeah. I think it says a whole lot to Sean about how it's not enough experiences a few times in books this year, that it's not so much the year, it really is the circumstances. I think that people can connect with, because, you know, a lot of our audience may not have been, you know, alive in the early 1900s, but they all know what it's like to go through the betrayal, the hurt, and you know, dealing with, you know, how to love yourself and to value yourself. What was that like for you to see her go through that as well, the importance of loving who you are and realizing that you are worthy of respect and love and all the things that anyone else is worthy of?
That was it really felt like I was her therapist, and I kind of didn't know where to go with that at first. I remember writing half of that story, and I don't want to give too much away in
sure.
case somebody wants to read it. But
sure.
When she comes to the when she begins to change, let's just say that I wasn't sure if I wanted her to. Maybe become someone who doesn't know what to do later, or if she does know what to do. And I decided I wanted her to win because I felt like I was beginning to win with getting things published.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, that's kind of the piece of myself thrown in there, that she stuck with something. And she, if you notice in the book, she doesn't transform overnight. I mean,
right.
She works at it. And that's something that I've done, and that's something that I do in everything. My parents always told me, you know, don't give up. And that's that theme of perseverance is something that we shared in common. And it was just, I really felt close to her in that
and
regard.
Yeah, I think readers will as well, Sean. I think they will be able to relate to that. I was talking to our previous guest, ironically also named Sean, about courage earlier, so I have to ask you the same thing. You know, it takes a lot of courage to go for your goals and for your dreams and to be able to believe, you know, that something is possible and that you have something that is, you know, that is worthy of being shared. I mean, you've been able to realize that for yourself, but what has it been like for you to encourage other people to tap into that courage, Sean, and to not allow fear to stop them?
It really has been, how can I say it? It makes me feel like I'm helping myself because, you know, I oftentimes, you know, I was a writer who was struggling, and I see so much of myself in up-and-coming writers, and I still feel like I have a long way to go. I mean, I'm not Alice Walker by any means, one of my idols, and Toni Morrison is one of my idols too, by the way. But, you know, but just to start to get things shared, you know, and published, I wish I'd had someone like me. So I think that's why I'm so sensitive to other people, you know, telling me, well, how do you do this? And you know, look over my work and, you know, just basically help me. So, you know, I would put, you know, helping someone else, I would be willing to put my work on the back burner just to, you know, try to help someone else because it's tough out there.
Right. It is tough, and it's great to be able to have someone in your corner. Now, I have to talk about the other one. I guess will be my second favorite in the book, and that was Devil Does Dallas. I referenced it earlier. really interesting story you say in the book that it's something that's near and dear to your heart. I mean, we definitely don't want to give anything away from that, but there is, I will say that to our listeners, there is a familiar individual that we find at the beginning and ending of this story that you probably have heard about that is a character in this book for sure. I mean, what was that like for you to kind of to make the devil like us, to use the very things, of course, that he uses to be able to tempt, to entice, and then to see the way that maybe people were not as accommodating to him as he would have thought?
That was a lot of fun for me because that was, in my personal way, it was a way for me to take the power back from the Prince of Darkness.
Mm-hmm.
For those who don't know, it's the story about the devil who makes a recruiting trip to Dallas. And I basically make him like a salesman. And as you know, anyone who knows when someone solicits to you, you have the power to say yes or no.
Right.
And that was just my way of saying, okay, well, we don't always have to do what the devil, you know, wants us to do, because I'm sure oftentimes you hear about things on the news, and you know, by the way, I'm very sorry to hear about what happened in Paris. And you wonder, you know, why did this person make this awful choice, you know? And I kind of put a spin on it, like, well, maybe the demon was personal. Maybe there's background that we don't know about, because in the story, the devil is whoever we want him to be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how he's able to be a little, give people the inclination to go with him. Not everyone does. That's all I'll say.
Right.
But that was, I guess, my way of kind of explaining good and bad, because so many times we think, well, you know, how can bad things exist? You know, when, I mean, why, you know, how can a higher power let such bad things happen?
Right.
And I don't think it's all the higher power's fault. You know, I don't know what anyone's spirituality is, but I always think it's because we help him. You know, we help the Prince of Darkness. You know, we have a choice to do other things. And so that was what it was like. It was just like, taking my power back. And the hero in the story is loosely based on my grandmother, who was a very strong Baptist woman. And I think people will enjoy her, you know, how she solves the problem.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that is the great thing too, Sean, that comes across, is that, you know, it is something that is a choice that we all have, even though some of us are in situations that may seem more dire or desperate, you know, that we all have that choice. And I think it all goes to kind of a theme in the book, and that is realizing one's personal power. And I think, you know, knowing, you know, that we have that ability, that you don't have to make the decision that other people have made, that you can be able, you know, to stand firm and do what you believe. You know, when you finish this particular book of short stories, and we know this is only the beginning for you, but when you finish this, how does it feel for one, to be able to have accomplished it, and two, to realize that this was only the beginning?
Of course I was elated, but in a way I also felt, I mean, and this is in a positive way, of course, but spiritually naked. it's like I feel like I shared a lot of dynamics of my personality and my life with my audience, and that's a good feeling. I mean, it really is, you know.
And I think, too, it's a great example for other people. You, like the rest of us, are on social media, especially through Twitter. I mean, what has it been like for you to connect with other people, Sean, and to allow them to be able to realize, you know, what is possible for them, and also to share your work with people who don't, you know, who may not know you?
That's been sensational. I've met a lot of really neat authors on Twitter. And I'm not just a writer. I'm an avid reader, too. And so I've been introduced to a lot of really good books as well. And that gives you another another dynamic as to other writers' style, you know, and their brand of storytelling. And so that's been a lot of fun, too.
Right. Well, it's a great thing, and again, we know this is only the beginning for you, Sean. Again, everyone, author Sean C. Wright has been our guest for this segment. A Gathering of Butterflies is the title of her collection of short stories. It's available right now through our friends at Amazon.com. You can get the Kindle edition for only $2.99, and also the print edition is less than $6. You can take advantage of getting it there as well. Sean, I know you have a website that's set up, and as I said, you're on social media, too. How can our audience stay connected with you?
Well, you can go to my website. It's I as an ice cream, right, like my last name, my maiden name, away.com. That's irightaway.com. And you may also go to, I have a blog that's kind of hodgepodge of writing things, and that's seanarchy.wordpress.com. And I'm on Twitter, and that handle is at seanarchy.
So make sure you're all staying connected with Sean there. Sean, congratulations to you again on the book. I'll be writing my review on Amazon.com. Encourage anyone else who's already read the book to be able to do the same thing, to let Sean and others know what you think about it. And, Sean, looking forward to staying connected with you.
Okay, thank you so much, and thanks for having all these Seans on your show recently.
You're more than welcome, Sean. Again, everyone, Sean C. Wright has been our guest for this segment. Make sure you all are staying connected with her through her website, as she said, but also, of course, you can find her on Twitter at SeanArchy there. Again, just Sean and Archie is where you can find her there. And we've already tagged her on our page, which I'll tell you here in just a moment. I want to thank all of you for tuning in to another edition of Conversations Live, whether you're joining us for the hour, for our radio audience, or joining us just for the segment online. If you all came in late and you missed part of the conversation, don't worry. Thanks to our online friends, you all can catch the replay right after we go off the air. The link is already available through our links on social media at facebook.com/CyrusWeb or go over to twitter.com/CyrusWeb. And as I said, I've tagged Sean there so you can easily find her there as well. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live today. You all make it a great one.